Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's great to be together today. Hope you guys are excited because today is a very special day.
Yeah.
You guys know why?
Yeah. Why?
Because it's Sunday.
Because it's Sunday. Yeah. Yes. That's good. What else? There's a baptism today. I don't know what Chitty is. He said the unknown baptism. If you guys haven't guessed yet, Cheryl is going to be our sister. Cheryl, stand on up so everybody can say hi to you. We are so excited about that, about seeing you become our sister in Christ today and seeing you start this journey of a new life with this family. And we're really, really happy to have you be part of the family today. So today is an exciting day. I really hope you're excited in your heart today. I hope you're close to the Lord and you had a great quiet time and you're ready to hear some scriptures today. So let's just get into it and we'll start out with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Father, for this day. Thank you, God, that you love us so much. Father, we feel your love every day. We feel it in everything that we do. And Father, we know that you're there. You're the one that gives us the peace and the joy and gives us just the comfort that we can experience as Christians, God. And Father, I'm just so thankful for that. And thankful for the family, Jesus, that you created here for us. And that's what we'll be talking about a lot in the upcoming weeks. Is just the family. And Father, when I just think about walking in the room this morning and seeing people here and my brothers and sisters and just experiencing this family that we have, God, we're so grateful. And we know that it's only because of you, Jesus. Without it, we would not be here this morning. We would not have each other. And Father, we owe you everything. Father, we're so grateful for this time. Let your spirit really fill up this room. Let the joy of the scriptures really, God, fulfill us in our hearts and really help us to be close to you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to be starting a new series. We just got finished with a series on grace, and hopefully you guys have learned a lot about that. I know I have. But now we're going to be talking about one another. We're going to be talking a lot about relationships. And, I've learned two things since I've been a Christian. About relationships. One, they're extremely important.
Yeah.
The second thing I've learned is I have a lot to grow in relationships. And you may be feeling the same thing, but I know there's been times in my life as a Christian where I've really needed people in my life. And, on the good days, you think, well, I can kind of do this on my own, but that's only our pride getting in there. But on when things go wrong in your life, you really see the need to have others in your life. And I can recall many, many different times, but I can recall one time years and years ago when I was really struggling. It's just struggling to the point where I didn't want to talk to anybody and I didn't want to be a Christian anymore. And I locked myself in my house and turned my lights off and shut the blinds because I knew that some of these guys, these brothers, were going to come by my house. And so I was acting like I wasn't home. But then I was, they kept coming back and they kept knocking on my door. And they knocked on my door and one day I said, I'm just going to open the door up. And as soon as I saw their faces, I knew that I was going to get some help. And I knew that I was going to get to experience just the friendship and the fellowship that only I can have in Christ. And so I know the importance of it because I think in a lot of ways I would not be faithful. I just turned on the 9th, it was 24 years. I had my 24-year birthday, my spiritual birthday. And I know that there are two very important aspects of that. One was God, obviously. I need God, and God's the only thing that keeps me going. But I also need relationships. I need the family. And without that, I don't think I'd be faithful today. And also, I see how much I need to grow in just my relationships with others. I didn't grow up in a family. Some families grow up with a lot of people coming over and a lot of friends in the family and a lot of family members. My family was just a couple people, and I can't remember one time that my family had had friends over. And I never had friendship demonstrated by my family. I never saw that. I never saw my family open up and have people over for dinner that they were friends with. Yeah. And so when I came into the kingdom, you can just imagine, like, wow, you know, all these people are trying to, at first you can even feel like people, it's overwhelming. All these people want to love me. But then I realized it was really because I was not used to having the friendships that the Bible is calling for. Yeah. And so I think this is going to be very exciting just to go through the scriptures about one another, about the relationships that we need to have in the kingdom, because it is so important to our relationship with God. Yeah. And we've got to figure out what is important in our walk with God. You know, that's something we've got to do, right? As we study our Bibles, the object of getting in your Bible every day is not just to read through a pretty scripture, right? Just go, oh, that was, I feel so joyful and walk out. But the objection is you want to get into your Bible, feel those feelings, but also really figure out what does God want for our life? We want to figure out what does God want us to do and how to live and who to be, because all of us, I believe, are here this morning because we want to be like Jesus, right? Yeah. And so we got to make sure that we go after and see the things of the Bible. I think one of the mistakes that we make when reading the Bible is we kind of put a blanket statement across everything in the Bible and say, oh, all these things are important, just as important. And we don't see and we don't try to discover the areas that God has more of a heart or more. And let me give you an example, kind of like, you know, you ever play dominoes, right? I think it was Devonta and I one day tried to play dominoes, and we both said we knew how to play. We sat down at the table, we figured out we didn't know how to play. We ended up calling some, we couldn't get a hold of him, we just put him back away. But when you look at a domino, the dominoes are equal sizes, right? They're exactly the same length and width, right? So if you just look at a domino, all dominoes can look like they're exactly the same thing. But we got to look deeper. We got to look at what those dots are in the middle, right? If you just look at the size and the length and the width, they're exactly the same. But once we get into it, we start seeing, you know, there's different values here for the different dominoes. And it's kind of the same thing with the Bible. We've got to read everything and know it's all from God, but then there are some things that God really puts an emphasis on. Yeah. That he says, you know, this is really important to me, so I think this should be really important to you, right? And so let's look at a scripture that kind of talks about that. And I'm not trying to say God's word is not important. It absolutely is. But we need to see things in God's perspective about what's the most important. In Matthew 23, in verse 23, it says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel." And so here you get this idea that these people were focusing on some things. You know, they were focusing on giving a tenth. But what was pointed out here is there's something even more important than that. And I think a lot of times we can start majoring in the minors. You ever heard that expression? We start majoring in the minors. We start looking at the little things, but we forget some of the very core things of the Bible, some of the things that Jesus was, it was very close to his heart, and therefore we've got to make these things very close to our heart. And so, you know, we've got to figure out in our walk with God, we've got to figure out what's important to God. What is important to him? You know, if we have an interest in following God, then we better have an interest in what his heart is. We want to know what he wants for our lives, because we can get off on all these different tangents and forget some of the core things that were really important to Jesus. Matthew 22, in verse 37. And I think this kind of puts it in a lot of perspective. And he says, here's some things that are really important. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You know, we look at this scripture and we don't even have to guess what's important to God by looking at this scripture, right? Yeah. It says here, you know, what really is the first and the greatest commandment? And we all know this, right? The first one is to love God with all your heart, right? That's what we're doing here, right? We're here because of what Jesus has done for us. We're here because we want to fall in love with God, you know? And then he says, there's another one, and that's loving your neighbor as yourself. And he says, these things are very, very, this is the center. This is the bullseye where we want to become as Christians. You know, and, you know, we want to make sure that we are doing it and following and make sure we know his heart. Here it says, and the second is like it. Because sometimes we think, we go, well, you know, I have a relationship with God. I pray at home in my closet and, you know, nobody ever sees me, but I'm close to God. And sometimes we can think that somehow this relationship with God is just about me. Mm. It's just about me and God, and I don't need anything else around me. But he makes a very strong statement in the middle of this, because he says, first, you got the greatest commandment is to love God. But then he says the second one about the relationships, he says, and the second, it's like it. You know, I don't know exactly what that means, but what I understand from it is somehow in God's perspective, what's important to him is that we love him, and so close to it, we're almost the same thing in some way, because he says it's like it is to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, we got to hit the bullseye. We want to figure out in our Christian life what exactly we're going to follow and what exactly we're going to kind of, you know, make our lives about. If somebody could say your life was about something, I would want people to say your life was the way Jesus wanted it. The things that were important to Jesus were the things that were important to you. Yeah. You know, and so we got to make sure we try to hit the bullseye. And so if you blow up the bullseye a little bit, here's what you get according to that scripture. What you get is that God is in the center. You know, that's the most important thing that we can focus on in our life, is having an incredible relationship with God. And, you know, we've already talked about that, but I'll get into that some other time. But we need to make sure that you're having great times with the Lord. We need to make sure that you're tight with God. You know, if people are telling you, come on, go have your quiet time, go pray, then you got to ask yourself, why aren't you doing that on your own? Because that's what being a Christian is all about. But the second thing in that bullseye, within the same circle, maybe just on the outer rim of it, is our relationships with one another. Relationships are at the center of the target that we want to hit. You know, we know that loving God is important, but we got to take really seriously what he says about having relationships. He mentioned both these two things really in one breath. Yeah. To him, these are the core things that we want to hit as a Christian.
Preach.
Relationships. Let's look at some. We're going to look today. Today is really just kind of an opener to all the other weeks. We're going to look at and narrow in on different topics over the upcoming weeks. And we're going to talk about different aspects of having relationships with one another. But today I really want to show us the importance of having good relationships within the body. Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 2, and we all know when this scripture happened. We read this all the time. And if I ever show you a scripture that we read all the time, don't ever think, oh, I know that one. I want to, there is no, you can never hear a scripture too many times. Yeah. Because we just build better convictions about those scriptures. And not that one's more important than the other, but this just happens to be a great scripture about what we're talking about. And so in Acts chapter 2, it says, and so again, this was after Pentecost, about 3,000 people became Christians at this time. And this was right after those people, those early Christians just became Christians, we get to this scripture. And it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know, when I look at that and I think about the early church, I think how beautiful God created his kingdom. How beautiful he created the relationships that we're supposed to have in the church. And he says there that, you know, you look at them and it says everyone was filled with awe and wonders. They were seeing all the things that God was doing. All the believers, they had everything in common. You know, I like that statement. They had everything in common. And I often think about, what does it take for people to have everything in common? It takes a lot of time spent together. You ever talk, I remember I had this great aunt and uncle, and they would come over, and I didn't really know them that much, but I got to know them before they passed away when I was a little bit older. And every time the husband spoke, the wife would end the sentence for him. And it always made sense. It wasn't like she couldn't figure out and she was going on a tangent. They would just finish each other's sentences and it would be like one person talking. Wow. I mean, it was amazing. I was just a kid and I was like, how do they do that? I mean, I can't figure out what I'm saying, and yet they know exactly what the other person's saying. But they had everything in common. They knew each other so deeply that they had, and they spent so many years together being married that they could just finish each other's and complete each other's sentence because they knew what the other one was trying to communicate. They had everything in common. And I believe that only comes from spending time together.
Right.
You know, and that's something as we, in the following weeks, we're going to hit a lot about. And we're going to talk a lot because I believe that we live in a world where we have so many gadgets for communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got Facebook, Twitter, we got your iPhones, your, you know, Gmail, you got whatever. What's the one I sent around last week? It was GroupMe. You know, some of you guys got some messages at 6:30. I put you on GroupMe and messages at 6:30 in the morning and people didn't like that, so we got rid of GroupMe. But we got so many different ways to communicate today, but the sad reality is, what I see even in the kingdom is we talk less to each other than these people did that had no ways hardly of communication other than walking to each other. Because it says in 46, it says every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts. Every day they had to get out of their house and they had to actually walk to go, and if I wanted to meet with Chitty, I'd have to walk and go and see him. You know, today we complain and we say, well, we're so busy. You don't understand my schedule. I can't go to the person in the dorm next to me, or I can't go to the person in the house down the street because I'm so busy. And yet we have a phone in our pocket that doesn't, it takes 5 minutes. Anybody can get 5 minutes. I don't care how busy you are. to be in contact with somebody else.
Right.
And I think sometimes, really, this comes down, and we'll see in the following weeks, this has a lot to do about love. But anyway, I'm getting way off the topic there. But I'm really passionate about that because I believe we need these kind of, our church needs to look like this. Yeah. Our church needs to be, when somebody says, give me a little snapshot of your church, you need to be able to say, without reading this, you need to say some of these same things because that's the relationships that we have within this room. But they devoted themselves. It says they devoted themselves to the teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and prayer. We're not going to talk about all those. Well, obviously, we're going to talk about fellowship today. But it says first there, they devoted themselves. The word devoted is proscaterio. It sounds Italian. I don't know. Proscaterio. It means to closely adhere to. It's kind of like if you ever had some, one day I was trying to glue something. I had this little plastic piece that was broken. And then you get this glue that you got to mix together. And you try to put this little plastic thing together. And what happens is it ends up sticking to your fingers. You ever had that experience? Like you just can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
That's what this scripture is talking about. It says they were so devoted, they were like glue to each other.
Mm.
They were closely adhered to each other. And then it gets into one of the things they were closely adhered to is the fellowship. And this is a word that's going to be coming up a lot in our lessons. The word for fellowship that was the original Greek word for that was koinonia. And what it meant was it's a partnership, a deep involvement in sharing together in the common life. We don't have a word for like that in English, right? We say fellowship, and what do we think about when we say fellowship? I think what we think about when we say fellowship, we think about the 10 minutes before church, and we think about the 15 minutes afterwards, and maybe I can even grab a burger with somebody, and that's my fellowship. But that's not what, that's part of fellowship, but that's not what this word means in the original terms. It means that we share common life together. We share common life together. It's not just about having somebody over for, you know, for poker night or something like that. It's about being family. Outside of the Bible, the word koinonia is used to describe marriage. It's used to describe marriage. And this is something that we've got to wrap our minds around. That when the Bible talks about fellowship, yeah, it does mean before and after church. That's why church starts at 9:45, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But that is not all that the fellowship is about. Fellowship is sharing together with other brothers and sisters just like you were married to them. Because we have a commitment. You know, it's funny. I hear over and over, I hear people say, well, you know, my family. But I don't hear it's so important, and rightly so. I don't want you not to love your family. You know, there's other scriptures about that. Love your physical family. But do we look at our brothers and sisters in this room as our family? As our blood relatives? Do we see that we're married to each other?
Mm.
I think sometimes if we thought like that, there would be a difference in the room.
Yeah.
Our friendships would be tight, tighter than you can imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about Marge. Marge and I share everything. You know, we have the same interest. We try to get the same interest. We try to figure out, you know, lately we've been going back and we started playing tennis again. And to me, it's like that, to Marge and I, that's kind of our highlight. You know, we get this time together, go hit a ball around, but we feel close because it's something we do together because we know each other. Do we have those kind of relationships in this room? Because that's what the Bible talks about. It talks about having these type, and when you put those two words together, the devoted to the fellowship, it means they closely were adhering to the deep partnership and sharing together in common life. It means that they actually said, you know what, I am married to these brothers and sisters. This is my family. I'm going to stick to them, and I'm going to make this thing happen. It's not about whether you're too busy. Sometimes people pull that thing and they say, I'm too busy. I want you to try to think, when these people were devoted to each other like this, did they have grocery stores to go to buy their food? No, they probably had to grow it. You know, did they have a car to get to work?
No.
No, they had to walk. Did they have a car to get with each other? No. I mean, you look at their lives, I would say that in some ways their lives were probably a lot more busier than ours. And yet they were able to closely adhere to each other like a true family. And this is something over the next weeks, if there's something that I want to communicate to you through these scriptures, I think that's going to be the main thing, that we need to be a family. We need to have koinonia in our relationships. We need to closely adhere to a deep partnership in sharing life, sharing the common life, the everyday things, being together. That needs to happen all the time. People who experience koinonia share a common life, not a casual connection. You know, in the world we live in, casual connections are okay, right? Facebook is like where people's best friends are. You know, some people, all they can do is they play video games or they have Facebook and they're connected with other people and they say, these are my friends. The world, people are so deceived because to the world, because of the lack of love in this world, people go to these things that they sit in front of a computer and there's really no love there at all.
Yeah.
It's not a casual connection. None of us should have a casual connection with each other.
Right.
We should all be deeply involved with other people's lives. And if you say you're too busy to do that, then you need to reevaluate your life to figure out, what do I need to take away in my life so I can have this kind of relationship? Because without it, we will not make it as Christians. Why are relationships so important? Why is koinonia so important? And today we're just going to look at a few more scriptures here that really point out why this is so important, that will really set us up for the weeks to come. The first thing is, koinonia fulfills the law of Christ. It fulfills the law of Christ. How do we know that? Galatians 6. In verse 1, it says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in the same way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. You know, he says that we've got to get good at carrying each other's burdens. You know, how do you even know what other people's burdens are? You only know by getting with each other.
Yep.
You only know by spending quality time. If you just meet each other at church, I mean, let's think about it. If your only fellowship is right after service, think about how deep your talks are immediately after service. Hey, bro, how you doing? Oh, you going to lunch? Yeah, let's go. Let's go get some other people. You know, I don't think that we can get every burden that we have communicated in that 15 minutes. And again, there's nothing wrong with fellowship after church. Please do it. But we got to think bigger and better and more, because that's what the scriptures talk about. We've got to be at a point in each other's lives where we're so involved with each other that we know each other's sins and what we struggle with. We've got to be so involved that we not only know what they're having a hard time overcoming is, it says that we've got to get in there alongside and we've got to carry those people and their burdens to a different place where it can be dealt with.
Amen.
We've got to get in there. It, you know, sometimes we think about when we hear somebody's sin, do you just hear it? Or do you make an effort as their brother and sister to really get in there and help them to resolve? That's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, caring people and carrying people's burdens can wear you out. But you know, when we're all doing it, we all share in that. I want you to think about when you grew up, if you had a really good family, I'm sure you shared in each other's burdens. And you were always there in the hard times and the good times. We like the good times, right? But it's the hard times we've got to share, and we've got to make sure that we're carrying each other's burdens. You know, and then that scripture goes on at the end there. It says, why do we do all that? It says, in this way, you're going to fulfill the law of Christ. Some people say in some of the readings I've read about this scripture, it says the principles of Christ. However you look at it, it says that you're going to be able to fulfill basically what God wants for your life by getting in there and struggling with them through these things and bringing people through their sins and helping them to deal with it and get to another place in their life. That was never church for me growing up. Church for me growing up was go in, hear a great lesson, and then I rate it. Was it good? Was it bad? Was it in between? And then I walk out and go home. But koinonia is something so different. It's about being together and being that deep in each other's lives. Don't be afraid to dig. Don't be afraid to dig in each other's lives, because that's the thing. When we help each other with our burdens, that's the thing that we, you know, it's basically, it says that we'll fulfill the law of Christ. Sounds like a good thing to me. The second thing is koinonia, it sets us apart. In John 13, 34, it says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another." You know, it says here that we've got to love just as Jesus loved. And when you think about how Jesus loved in your life, I wrote down just a few things I thought about. He loved me graciously, full of grace. He loved me unconditionally. He loved me sacrificially. He gave up everything for me. He loved me honestly. He didn't hold back anything in the scriptures that I needed to know. And the same thing for us, you know, and he loved me humbly, and he became my servant according to the scriptures. And that's just a few things I think about of how Jesus loved me. And then it says that we've got to do the same thing in how we love each other. Yeah. So when I think about how am I supposed to love, I got to love full of grace. I've got to learn to love people unconditionally, sacrificially, honestly. And I think this is a hard one for someone to love each other honestly. Yeah. Because honest means that you don't hold anything back that that person needs to know. And I think sometimes we think and we have it twisted in our mind. We think, well, if I don't deal with that person's sin and help them, because if I do talk about their sin and talk about where they're at, they're probably going to get mad at me. And then I'm going to feel bad. And then, you know, we build up all these things that we think. But the reality is, if I'm called to love like Jesus, I got to love honestly. And we've all got to tell each other in love what we need to know. If someone's lacking in a certain area, we tell them and we help them. We encourage them. We pray with them. It's not about bashing them, but we do need to love honestly and humbly. And I've got to be a servant to everybody, you know? And I think that's a big call. That's what Jesus said. If I'm going to love people, I need to love people like him. You know, one of the things that it does not say here, you know, it says, it does not say that by your doctrine, everyone will know that you're my disciples. I mean, sometimes we think, yeah, you know, just because you know the scriptures, you know what it says, and you're well educated in it, that is not the thing that's going to help people to know that you're a disciple. And what makes it, what sets us apart as Christians is that people will know that you're disciples by how you love, if you love one another. Yeah. And not just regular love, but the kind of love that Jesus had for us. That's what's going to stand out. You can teach people all you want. You can study the Bible with them all you want. But if they don't see the love of Jesus in you, they're not going to get converted. They're not going to change. I remember the guys that studied the Bible with me. It blew me away that these guys would stay up late every night of the week and get up early to go to work just to sit down and study the Bible with me. That blew me away. The scriptures were awesome. The scriptures changed me. But without that love, I would have said, you're just another church. You're just another group of people. But that love was so different than anything I've ever seen before. It was amazing. And that's what I knew I wanted to be. I wanted to have that kind of love. I knew these people were different because of that love, not because they said I had such a great doctrine. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We got to love like Jesus loved. Koinonia sets us apart. Koinonia allows us to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus. You know, we've talked about this before. None of us are worthy of the gospel, right? All of us are a mess. You know, all of us have sinned. All of us fall short of the glory of God. You know, but there is some scriptures that say that we can live a life that's worthy in God's eyes. And we'll see what he's talking about. This is one of them in Philippians 1, 27. It says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Is that Pac-Man over there? Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. And so the Bible points out here, it says, you know, we've got to make sure that we conduct ourselves in a manner that's worthy of the gospel. Now you may be asking, well, what is that? What is that way of conducting yourself that is worthy? If you just keep reading just a little bit further, you get to Philippians, and it kind of sums it up, because anytime you see the word therefore, you always got to think about the words before it, right?
Yeah.
So he gets to this point, and he says, you know, you got to live this life worthy. And then he says in Philippians 2:1, he says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. And so when he's talking about how to live your life in a worthy manner, in a manner worthy of the gospel, what he's talking about, that's shown through our relationships with one another. It's shown through our, so I would say that relationships are pretty important thing for us to get.
Yeah.
Because when God looks at us and says, you know, are they living a life that's worthy of the gospel? He's looking at how we're carrying out our relationships with each other. That's huge. You know, and we've read this scripture before, don't do anything out of your selfish ambition, you know, have humility, consider others better than yourselves. This scripture is all about relationships. It's all about how we've got to, again, love like Jesus loved us. Another scripture in Ephesians 4, the same thing we're talking about, it says, a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You know, again, how do we live this life worthy of the calling? Just look at the next verse. It says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And again, we see very clearly that the way that we can live a life worthy in God's eyes anyway, and that's who we want to impress, right? We want to put ourselves and see what's important to God. And the thing that he says that is a life worthy of the calling is that we're humble with each other. We learn to be gentle and we're patient. We talked about this last week about bearing with each other. You know, and some people ask, well, what's bearing? It means there might be that person, that brother or sister in the church that may be really hard to get along with. And you may find yourself kind of standing off from that person and not talking to them. But it says bear with them, meaning you go there and you work through it and you communicate and you love them anyway through it. Make every effort to keep the unity, the bond of peace. Again, all about relationships, all about having koinonia in our lives, in our church. The last thing is koinonia is essential to our purification. It's essential to us living a life of purity. In 1 John chapter 1, In verse 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." You know, it says there that walking in the light and having fellowship with one another are kind of one and the same. You know, you can't have great fellowship and walk in the darkness. And if you do walk in the light, you're going to have the koinonia that the Bible's talking about. They go together. And then it leads basically to say that through that, through Jesus, he purifies us. You know, he can purify us from all unrighteousness. Koinonia, our relationships, our fellowship together, our sharing in the common life is so important that it goes hand in hand with us living a pure life, being pure before God. Again, these are all just some different ways, but I really hope today that you see that our fellowship is super important.
Yeah.
Our one another relationships, you know, it sets us apart. It's what makes us different, is having these relationships with one another. But not the relationships that we think are right. We've got to go to the scriptures to find out what is right. Because just like me, I didn't grow up with great relationships. And so when I came in the church, I needed to learn from the scriptures. So again, those are some scriptures. I hope you get something out of those things. But I think what you're gonna discover over the next weeks of talking about this subject, what you're gonna discover is that not only does the Bible say it's important, but you're gonna discover for your life that relationship with the koinonia is super essential for your Christianity. It's super essential for you to stay faithful as a Christian. And you know, never ever was the Bible, and I don't care what scripture you pick out, the Bible was never designed to be a solo sport.
Yeah.
Never. It was designed to do together as a community, to have this kind of relationship.
Yeah.
You know, you think back to the scripture we looked in Acts, as soon as they got out of the water, they went right into these relationships.
Yeah.
When they counted the cost, they counted the cost for Jesus, but they also counted the cost for the relationships that they were going to have.
Mm-hmm.
They were super important. The relationships, God is the one who's going to make us strong. But we need each other to keep us faithful sometimes. We do. And so we're going to be talking a lot about this. And I just want to close out with a little bit of a story here. Some of you guys have been to California. Who's been to California? Okay, so we got a lot of Californians. I grew up born and raised in California. And one of the places I went to a couple times on a family vacation, we went to the Redwood National Forest.
Yeah.
Any you guys ever been there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? You go to these trees, and this is just one example. I don't know if that's good for the tree, but they cut a hole in the middle, and the car can drive through it. These things are amazing. You stand next to those trees, and they just, you know, and they're kids, but, you know, a couple of feet up would be an adult. It's still not, you look at that, that is huge. That's just almost the size of my house. You know, these things, they will blow your mind. If you ever want to go somewhere where you can just be reminded about how awesome God is, you go stand right next to these trees. These trees only grow, you know, on the Pacific coast, about from Big Sur to Southern Oregon. It's a narrow strip of I forgot, 400 miles or something like that, maybe about 7 to 20 miles or something deep. It's not that, it's like a narrow row of these trees that you can find them, and they only grow at that part of the earth, just one place in the earth. You look at these trees, they're just so amazing. You look up, and these things, I mean, you look up, you look at the trees here in Auburn, you think these are some big trees, like I always look at the ones by my house. What happens if that falls in my house?
Yeah.
You look at these trees here, this is like looking up at a skyscraper. Yeah, I mean, you look up there and it's just like, it feels like they're touching the sky. They're amazing. You know, they're all, you know, they're just right next to each other. But let me tell you about these trees. The huge redwood trees of California amaze mankind. They are the largest living things on the earth and the tallest trees in the world. Some of them have been measured up to 379 feet high, 26 feet in diameter, and over 2,500 years old. One would think these trees are that trees so large must have a tremendous root system that reaches down hundreds and hundreds of feet into the earth just to hold those things up. But that's not so. The redwoods have a very shallow root system that rarely goes more than 12 feet underground. If one was to get down on his knees and examine the redwood's root system, he would find that all the roots, what they do is they intertwine. They're locked to each other. When the storms come and the winds blow and the lightning flashes, the redwoods, they still stand. They are not alone, for all the trees support and protect each other. Each tree is important to all the other trees. And when I think about that, I think about that's the same thing with our relationships and our fellowship in the church. That through our relationships, through Koinonia, we have the same function. We're locked together.
Yeah.
We're a family. We're married to one another through Christ. We support and we protect each other. With Koinonia, we're never alone because there's always someone there that can get with you. We support, we protect each other, and every disciple is important for the rest of the disciples, just like every tree is important to the ones around them. We've got to start seeing fellowship as a target that we've got to hit in our church.
Yeah.
We've got to start looking at Koinonia as something that's as super important, just like having a relationship with God is important. But also we need to take very serious how we function and how we have our relationships in the church. Because when you think about these trees, that's who we are to each other. We prevent and hold each other together. We intertwine with each other so that we can keep each other faithful and help each other love God more and more and make it to heaven. Amen, guys.
Amen.
Let's really take our relationships and our fellowships seriously. It's going to be awesome. Please take notes the next weeks because I think this is super important for our church. Amen. I love you guys.